I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Welcome back to Radio Times. One of the special features of living in Philadelphia is Boathouse Row along the Schuylkill River, where rowing has a long tradition and is still popular today. It's frankly a beautiful thing to watch rowers totally in sync gliding across the water. Our guest Sarah Megan Thomas has written, produced, and stars in a new movie about rowing called Backwards. She plays Abby, whose Olympic dreams are dashed when she's chosen as an alternate. She goes home and becomes a rowing coach for a girls' team at her former high school. Here's a scene from the beginning of Backwards where we first meet Abby as she trains for the Olympics.
When I was 16, my dad built me a trophy case for all my medals. He said that one day, there'd be an Olympic gold in there. It wasn't winning that was important to him. It was the hard work, the dedication. What a medal represents.
Sarah Megan Thomas is a former competitive rower, went to Shipley School just outside of Philadelphia and at Williams College in Massachusetts. She has studied acting, has appeared on international stages, independent films, commercials, soaps. You might have seen her in that New York Times commercial on TV. And Sarah Megan Thomas, congratulations and nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Also with us is Ben Hinkernell. He's the director of Backwards. He's a Haverford College graduate. Oops. A former Bryn Mawr Film Institute manager and wrote, produced, and directed the 2010 independent feature film Lebanon, PA, which was actually premiered at South by Southwest. And Ben Hinkernell, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Nice to have you here. Sarah, was your intention to not only write, produce, and star in your first feature film?
Yeah, it was, which was a little naive. I had no idea how much work it was. But yeah, I really wanted to create this film about an Olympic athlete who doesn't quite get there, which is a different take on the traditional sports film. And I wanted to produce and act in it as well.
And where did this idea come from? And I know, I mean, you've been a rower for a lot of your life.
Yeah, I've been a rower for a lot of my life. I was a basketball player, did a lot of sports. And I just remember thinking that you always see these fabulous sports films, and I love them, and they always win in the end or get their goal. And I thought it would be really fascinating to tell the story about someone who is an athlete and just misses the bar, and how that must feel, and how to move forward in life.
Did you know someone who was in that situation?
I did, actually, yes. A woman I rode with at Williams was the number one alternate for the Sydney Olympics.
Oh, wow.
And she did take time off school, and she trained, and she was the alternate. And I remember thinking, what a fabulous accomplishment that is, you know, to even be at that level. But that story hadn't been told.
Yeah, and was she crestfallen? I mean, after all that preparation and training?
I'm sure she was. She's doing really well now, but I think, you know, it's always a disappointment. It must be.
So how old were you when you started rowing? And I have to say, I mean, it's a sport that has deep roots here in Philadelphia, but it's an unusual sport in many ways.
Yeah, it's very unusual. I grew up in Philly, and I grew up like watching everyone rowing and the beauty of it. And so I knew I wanted to start rowing and started in eighth grade at Shipley. Eighth grade used to be part of the high school back in the day when I was there. I don't think it's the case anymore. But that was, what, 14, 15?
Right.
And I rowed all through high school and then partially through Williams College. And it is amazing team sport. Some of my best friends.
Really? Literally?
Right now are the people that I rode with in high school.
And so you rode on the Schuylkill?
I did, many times, many races, many many memories, many wins, many defeats. And that definitely played a role into the script.
I read about you because you played basketball.
Yes.
You did rowing and also cross country. But in basketball, you scored 1,000 points.
I did. That's my claim to fame. I'm on a banner. Yes, that was actually, this is a little story of you want to make your goal. There was one game where I had 2 points left to go to score 1,000.
Yes.
And everyone was there thinking I was going to score those 2 points. And I didn't score a point the whole game. So they had to bring everyone back the next game, all the flowers, everything. It was funny.
You and Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah, right?
So why did you want Ben to direct this film?
You know, I had seen Lebanon, PA in New York and was so impressed with the chemistry of the actors, the script, everything. And we were interviewing directors and there were a lot of directors who were interested in taking this film in an edgier, dark manner, which is one way we could have gone. But for me, I really wanted it to be a mainstream, family-friendly movie that, you know, fathers can take their daughters to, coaches can take their teams to. And when I met with Ben, he was on the same page 100%, and I knew he had the talent to direct, so it was just making sure we were on the same page for telling the same story.
So what's your version of what Sarah just said? Go ahead.
Well, it was actually, the timing was amazing. It was a little magical because I Lebanon, PA had just come out. So I was literally driving across, kind of around the country, especially around PA. We were playing in all these, you know, in Pittsburgh, in Harrisburg, all over the state. And I literally got this phone call and this email first. And anyway, you know, I have this project. We've come so far. You know, she'd already put all the legwork. Because independent film, the shooting of it is like one blip in the expansive dinosaur timeline, what it takes to get one made. So she was like, you know, we have it funded. I have it written. We're ready to make this film, and I need a director. And so we met, and it just, you know, one of the reasons I did it was it just gelled so well, I think, with kind of where I was at my life, in my life too. Like after many, it was funny. I'm a little bit like Abby. Like after many, many years of work trying to make this first film, then to have a chance to make another film right away was just, it was just so, it was so great to just be able to jump in and do it again. And with this fun, so it really fit that it was a fun, inspirational, kind of heartwarming movie.
I like that you refer to Sarah as Abby.
Yes.
Kind of one of the same, right? Does that tell us something about this story, do you think?
Well, I think one interesting thing is, you know, rowers are very passionate because it's a quote-unquote amateur sport. And what I mean by that is you're not getting, like, you know, Nike sponsorships to row. So people who do it for the love of the sport. And certainly independent film is a similar pursuit where you do it because you know, bottom line is you can't do anything else. You just need to do it. And so you work those crazy hours and put in all that effort just to do it because you love it.
There's one thing to direct your own film that you have written and done all the legwork for. It's another thing to direct someone else's film, is it not, Ben?
Well, I think what's great is it's both of our film. It isn't my film and it's not Sarah's film. And that's what's great in terms of the actual, like, you know, the actual storytelling is we really collaborated. You know, in your contract, usually, especially with the studio, you have a thing where you deliver a director's cut, and then the producer takes it and, you know, changes everything and then does their cut. And we really did a cut together. We were in the edit room together. She gave me space to work with the editor, but then we'd come in and she'd give notes. And we really did everything through collaboration. And, you know, and the script, too, it was her script, but then, like, I went through and made a pass. So it really is, which I think made the film better in a lot of ways, like and the experience great for both of us. It really was a collaboration. We were always open and just discussed everything. And because, you know, she was the writer and she had put in all this time, so I really honored that. And then she gave me the space to put my mark on it and direct it.
Well, I have to say that the scenes of the rowers on the Schuylkill, I mean, it's iconic in certain ways. Just to see them. Were there certain challenges to filming that part of the film?
Oh, there are a lot of challenges. Lots.
Well, there's some close-ups, and I know those boats. I mean, they're paper thin.
Yeah. Well, the great thing is, and I'm going to let Sarah tell the second half of the story. For a lot of the close-ups, we didn't use an actual cinema camera. We used a much smaller camera called a Canon 7D, which your listeners, anybody who's around the film now will know, but it's basically a small digital SLR camera. So we could mount that on the boat. But what's funny is you would think that'd be a small endeavor, but it took so much rigging, the front of the boat would get weighed down. We had these foam pads to kind of keep it floating. But then when you have two rowers trying to row a boat which is built to be graceful and glide through the water with this metal and these heavy foam pads, water would just splash. Water would almost get in the boat because it would splash up so high. So there were many challenges to kind of capture that. And then we only mounted a cinema camera on the boat once, and that was for the very beginning of the film. And Sarah.
Go ahead, here it goes. Sarah, yes. So I was a rower, but I did not row in a single, and the rowers out there know that a single is a beast of its own. It's very hard to balance. It's very easy to flip. And when we were doing a day of reshoots in October, windy day, we decided we needed a shot of Abby in a single rowing because we didn't have it. And this was the one time when I show up and I try to get in that boat that we have the red camera, which we don't own, it's on loan, mounted on the boat. And I'm supposed to go for a row and look confident, like look like this Olympic rower. I think I almost tipped like twice. I was very freaked out, but I had to basically go for a row with an incredibly expensive camera by myself, you know, come back to the dock. Oh.
And what was great is she did it once and came back. And she was like, she was like, we did it. Great. And then we looked at the footage and the whole time she's just a little bit, she's like trying, but she's a little bit freaked out. And we're like, Sarah,
I think we have to, you look like an amateur. And the Reds survived, and so did you.
Yes, yes.
Well, I think the name of this film, Backwards, yes. It works on so many interesting levels. I mean, in certain ways, and we're talking about a two-man boat or two-woman boat
yes.
here, going backwards. But the idea of, in a sense, not seeing where you're going.
Definitely. One of my themes in the film and the reason I gave it the title is that Abby, the main character, when she takes a coaching job at a high school, to her, at that moment in the film, it's degrading. To her as a character, it's a step backwards. Yet, when she takes that step backwards, she learns to love it even more than she did her life as an Olympic athlete. So mm-hmm. the theme is that sometimes in life you think you're taking a step backwards when actually you're on the journey you're supposed to be moving on. And then obviously, rowing is the only sport that you win by going backwards, mm-hmm. technically. So it was a kind of a nice mix.
It works that way. Now, when you were rowing, were you in a two-person boat or eight-person boat? Or
we never rowed. I rowed in an eight in college. In high school, because Shipley's a smaller school, we did fours, quads, and doubles. So we kind of, depending mm-hmm. on the year and what team we could put together as the strongest team. And in high school, I went to Henley in a four.
Oh.
Yeah.
And Henley is kind of the big deal.
Yeah, Henley's in the script. It's like the big deal for high school rowers.
And did you use actual footage from actual competitions to and edited that into the film?
We did, actually. And that was, again, it's an independent film, so you have to be smart about where you spend your money. And that was one way where we got a lot of bang for our buck. And we shot here in Philadelphia. We shot at Stotesbury Regatta for 2 days. And pretty seamlessly were able to cut in that footage with actual footage we did later of just kind of our, you know, we had like four boats and just our teams and some extras. Like we had James Vanderbeek and Sarah in the stands, like cheering, surrounded by like 20 extras. And then we're actually 50 maybe. And then you cut sure. to a wider shot of like 3,000 people and it looks like, you know, that's where you are. So we did. I mean, Philadelphia is very prominently featured in this movie. It's right. all shot here. It was written, you know, it's a set here. Except for a small bit in Henley, mm-hmm. there's a little Henley escape, so that's out there for the rowing fans. There's a little nod to that, but it's a very Philadelphia-based film, and so we show off a lot of the city. We have a lot of great Philly locations.
And we're almost up in a break here. How did you get to James Vanderbeek
to do it? Yeah, do you it. Know, it was simpler than it seems. Our casting director, who was fantastic, sent his agent a script. He read it. He connected to the material. We had some conversations, and he signed on.
Well, just as simple as that.
Yeah.
It's really easy making
it. No. We were lucky with that.
It's not, but when someone wants, well, what's great is, and to James's credit, what's great is when someone wants to do it, they want to do it. You know,
right.
So you go through the process and you don't have enough money. You know, obviously if you can throw someone $5 million, they'll do your movie, but you're out there searching for the right person. And then luckily then when that right person reads it and just responds, it's easy because James wanted to do it, and that made it happen.
Well, let's take that short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. We are talking about a film that opens in the Philadelphia area on September 21st at Ritz East and Bryn Mawr Ambler, also at the Bala Cynwyd Cinema on September 28th. It's called Backwards, and it's produced, written, and starring Sarah Megan Thomas, who joins us here in our Philadelphia studios, and directed by Ben Hinkernell, also with us in our Philadelphia studios. And we'd love to hear from the rowers in our audience. Give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back.
Medford Lees, a not-for-profit community serving those ages 55-plus and guided by Quaker principles, supports WHYY. This fall, there's an opportunity to explore, learn, and discover with Medford Lees as they launch their new Pathways series. Pathways features public programming on topics covering art, politics, music, history, horticulture, and more. Full details about Medford Lees public events, educational programming, and its campuses in Medford and Lumberton, New Jersey, are online at medfordlees.org.
Where you go to know what's happening in the arts. From paintings to plays to pastries, Friday Arts celebrates local cultural expression October 5th, where you go to know tomorrow's greats today. Starting October 14th, Onstage at Curtis showcases powerful performers and captivating concerts. Where you go to know what inspires talented musicians. On Canvas features legends and up-and-comers, on stage and behind the curtain, starting October 18th. The new fall season on WHYY-TV, where you go to know.
Can you grow garlic in containers over the winter? I'm Mike McGrath, and on the next You Bet Your Garden, we'll change our position on this topic of great importance to ground-free growers. plus the easiest and most difficult fruits, and answers to all your growing questions. That's You Bet Your Garden, Saturday morning at 11, right here on WHYY-FM.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking about a film about to open called Backwards. It's about rowing, and it's largely filmed here in the Philadelphia area. And let me play another scene from the film, and this is the Sarah Megan Thomas character, Abby Brooks, brings a couple members from her high school crew team on a field trip to the Philadelphia Museum of Art to study the 1872 iconic Thomas Aikens painting. Let's listen.
The Pear Ord Shell. It's right here on the Schuylkill. See the Columbia Bridge?
Oh, yeah. Check out all the detail. The faces of the oarsmen in the shadow. The way the sunlight reflects off the surface of the water. This painting is so accurate that scholars were able to pinpoint the exact time of day. 7:20 p.m. Huh.
So why am I going on about all this?
Because rowing is an art.
We see this painting hanging on the wall, and it looks beautiful, effortless. We don't see the work that went into creating it. When I have you guys practice tedious things over and over again on the water, it's because we're working towards creating this ease on race day. Because race day should be beautiful. It may hurt like hell, but it should be beautiful.
And again, another scene from the new film, Backwards. And Sarah, that's your character, Abby, talking to these young people. And I have to say, first of all, it's a beautiful painting, as we know, but it's also beautifully photographed in this film.
Yeah, we have a wonderful cinematographer, Harlan Basmadjian, who did a fantastic job. And the art museum let us shoot inside in their exhibit, which was truly unbelievable, because when I wrote the script, I wrote it as a calendar, because never in my wildest dreams did I think we'd be able to shoot in front of the actual painting. Right. And when we asked the art museum, they said yes.
Just like that?
Yeah, they were incredibly amazing.
And how about the filming of that particular painting?
That was a very good day, because it was, there's, you know, you can't fake scope. You go into the Museum of Art, and I've been in Philly now for like 15 years, and I love this city. So being able to shoot inside was a great pleasure, because we were able to just really open up, and we have this just, it's only a 3-second shot, but the shot of them walking into kind of the main entrance of the museum, and it just has this great sense of scope, and it's a really lovely moment in the film. It's funny, you know, when I think of my favorite moments in the film, there's a lot of kind of rowing action. You know, there are some race sequences. There's romance. There are a lot of moments. But the relationship that develops between Sarah's character, Abby, and these two girls she ends up coaching during the film, I think is a really touching relationship. And it really thematically ties into what this story is about, that you find something else to care about besides just your own pursuit. And so I think this moment is kind of a special moment of connection that's part of that storyline that I think just really is touching.
Sarah mentioned Harlan Basmadjian.
Yes, Basmadjian. Yeah.
And he did some of the rowing sequences in The Social Network. Did I read that right?
Yes, he worked on that film.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons that we wanted to hire him is obviously he, when we talked about those boat mounts we were talking about,
exactly.
He was like, well, this is how we did it on The Social Network.
You're like, score, you're hired.
and he also has done, he's done a lot of independent films. He's been around for a while, too. He did Nicole Holofcener's second film, Lovely and Amazing. So he's been doing cinematography and actually digital cinematography for a long time. So he really combines experience with just kind of open-mindedness, and he's really easy to work with. He's a very relaxed guy. Yes. Occasionally, maybe too relaxed. He's a very relaxed,
it's interesting,
warm
the
guy.
Dynamic on the set, right?
Yeah, you know? that's the whole thing. The thing is, you don't think you see it on screen, but you do. And this film, actually, that was another reason why I loved doing the film. We had a really good time making it. It was a really great crew, great cast, and it was just a really pleasant experience. I think a lot of people walked away and just said that was a good month.
It was fun.
Yeah.
You cast two young women to play Hannah and Susan.
Yes,
And they're the pair that essentially you as the character, as the coach, are coaching. They look like rowers.
Yes. Well, this was the trickiest part of the film, was casting these two roles, because they're really the heart of the film. And we saw just about every actress in New York. And it was really difficult because none of them had rowing experience, and it's a difficult sport to learn. Any rower can tell you. And then we saw just about every rower up and down the coast. And many of them didn't have the acting experience. They're very young. We needed to pull a film. So what we ended up doing is we hired one actress, experienced actress, who took a month to learn how to row.
Wow.
Crash course.
Wow.
On her own. Fantastic. And then we hired one rower who was an experienced rower and gave her some acting lessons, hoping that the combination would really be seamless. And it turns out the rower's dad was a coach, is a crew coach. So our actress was able to train with the other rower and her dad.
And able then to row together. Because you have to be totally in sync if you're going to row together.
And as a director, I loved it because they also became friends. So by the time they came on set, they already had a month of hanging out together and, basically in rowing practice, which is what their characters did. So it worked out really well.
And so which one was the actress? And
I'm going to leave that up to you guys.
to figure out who was who.
Yeah, we want you not to know.
Well, in that scene, Abby talking to these young women, talking about rowing as an art.
Yes.
And I mean, that can be a cliche about almost any sport. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to have you just expand on that. As someone who has spent so many years rowing, and it is a beautiful sight to see. I mean, perhaps that's what the art is, but even to do it.
Absolutely. I think rowing as a sport, and any rower will tell you, is so much grueling work. It's just a really difficult, difficult sport. But when you watch it, and when you watch it done well, especially the Olympics this year, watching any performer at that level do it well, there's a sense of ease, I like to say, a sense of they're sprinting as fast as they can, but it looks beautiful. And so the analogy in the film is that you put in all this hard work and it feels really hard and really difficult, but when you're doing it right, the end result is for it to have a sense of ease.
Yeah.
Just like the painting, where that artist may have taken years to create that, but when you're enjoying it, it's just a beautiful piece of art.
How would you prepare for a competition?
Lots of training, which I'm paying for now. Once you hit 30, man,
it hurts.
Yeah, we did a lot of running. We did a lot of sit-ups and push-ups and jumpies. A lot of the stuff you see in the film, the training, is actual training that I did. Yeah.
And did you, I know you didn't get to that Olympic level, but do you feel like, looking back, that you might have sacrificed some things for rowing?
Absolutely, and that's part of the theme. And I don't think it's necessarily a negative. I don't look back in a negative, but a good example is my freshman year in college, I made the varsity boat because I'd rowed in high school. And we actually went to Division I. It was a Division III school, but we went to Division I Nationals, and we placed. That entire year, I went out maybe twice as a freshman, maybe.
Like on a date?
No, I mean for a drink. For a Coke.
For anything.
For anything. I stayed in. I was studying. I was practicing. And I'm really happy with the end goal that I can always say that I did that. But looking back, there's the other side, which is, I didn't necessarily enjoy that freshman year as much as I could have.
And what aches? What hurts now?
Oh, my goodness. I have tendonitis right now in both feet. So try me when I'm wearing heels next week. We'll see. But I love to work out. I love to work out too much.
So you're willing to live with the aches and pains and tendonitis and all that.
Yeah.
And if I can say one thing, because it really ties into the theme of the film. This is something I've realized, because I am not a rower. I came and kind of learned about this sport. I think it's relatively unique in the beauty that we're talking about, the beauty that happens when, think of eight people rowing together in a boat, it's a true team sport. And sure, like soccer, football are team sports, but there are still moments where individuals excel, where the one guy catches the pass and makes the, makes a touchdown. And rowing, there's really no way, it's eight people rowing together, and the beauty, when you win, it's when you're all working in tandem perfectly. There's no way that if one person's rows much harder than everyone else, starts to throw the boat off. And that really ties into the theme of the film. Like we said, it's about an Olympic athlete who doesn't quite make it and then has to start over. And I think it really is a film about helping others achieve success. And that makes it kind of a relatively unique American sports film in that, and it really ties into the sport of rowing, that it's a sport where the beauty comes from being a bit selfless and actually really working together. And I think that's a great theme to explore.
Did you play team sports? Were you an athlete in any way as a kid?
I was. I actually was a wrestler in high school, and then I skateboarded. So I was wrecking public sidewalks
for your next film
when I was a teenager. So,
Well, let me just quickly reintroduce you. That's Ben Hinkernell, and he, a couple of years ago, wrote, produced, and directed a 2010 independent feature film called Lebanon, PA, and he is the director of a new film that opens on September 21st called Backwards. And Sarah Megan Thomas, also with us, she was a rower in high school and college where she studied acting, and she wrote and produced and stars in this new film, Backwards, and much of it filmed on the Schuylkill River here in Philadelphia, and using many of the sites in and around the city to make this film. And again, we'd love to hear perhaps even from those struggling filmmakers in the audience, and also, of course, rowers as well. Do give us a call at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Sarah, you made it to, in your own real life, made it to Henley,
yes,
which is a pretty big deal. It's in England.
Yes, it was fantastic.
And how did you do there?
We placed second in the finals, so that's kind of an Abby storyline. But in the semifinals, we actually won our race, and I remember that it was announced on the loudspeaker or whatever, you know, we apologize to report that, you know, the Shipley School from the United States has defeated the, you know, I think it was the Welsh team, the Welsh national team. But I remember that was a really funny moment, being like, what? You apologize to report in such a polite way.
It would have been fun to work that somehow into your movie.
I know. Well, actually, this is a low budget thing, so I don't think I'm giving anything away. We could not physically shoot a race at Henley. You know, that would just was not possible. So we did it in a creative way that I hope viewers enjoy.
Yeah, and I when I read the script, you had asked earlier why I did the film, and that was a kind of little fateful moment. I'm reading the script, and there is a scene in Henley, and my wife's actually from Henley. It's a, you know, big rowing place in the UK, and I actually even got married there. So I'm reading the script, and
this
I'm like,
"It was fated to be, wasn't that?"
It just kind of worked out perfectly, and we actually did. So we weren't able to shoot a race, but we did shoot a little bit in Henley, and part of that shooting was actually accomplished by having a bunch of friends of mine in London go and shoot stuff for us, and then send us the footage on the internet.
So give them a camera, or they use whatever.
Yeah, they basically
cell phone camera.
They rented a gear. No, they rented a professional camera in London and went out and shot some stuff for us. So we actually quote unquote shot in Henley, even on a low budget film. It was awesome.
No, this is your first screenplay. Is that right,
Sarah?
It
is, yes.
And I was reading that you got a bunch of books to figure out how to write screenplays. Is that right?
It is. I literally went to Barnes & Noble's two blocks from my house and bought everything they had. And I was like, okay, I have this idea. What do I do? And I read everything twice, and then I just did it. But then I had a lot of my actor friends in New York do many, many readings. And I, to this day, that is invaluable. Their feedback of saying the words out loud, saying this works, this doesn't, cut the first 20 pages. You're like, what? All this stuff was really instrumental. Right.
And was there one kind of piece of advice that was helpful to you, or one thing that you learned about screenwriting?
I think that I was joking about the 20 pages, but I did cut a significant amount of the opening. And I think the best piece of advice that I got in screenwriting is to really start at that moment where the plot is about to change, to start as close as you can to where the key moment in the film, and not give a ton of backstory for 10 minutes.
Oh, interesting. And I know with your play, or excuse me, your movie, Lebanon, PA, you wrote that as well. And I have to say, as someone who loves movies, if the screenplay is terrible or even mediocre, for me anyway, the experience is largely ruined. I don't believe what I'm seeing on the screen.
Yeah, well, you're always telling a story. I mean, I think one of the interesting things about film is that the screenplay isn't even the final draft. You know, filmmaking is very collaborative, and so it goes through so many. But that actually is great, because it's like coffee that's been, like, you know, filtered five times through. You know, it keeps going through these processes where you keep hitting walls, and that's so wonderfully, that really inspires creativity when you write a certain, like you wanted to write a scene in Henley, and it's like, well, we can't afford that.
Yeah.
How do we tell the story in a way that still tells the story? So it often makes you kind of make that left turn that then you discover something wonderful.
But would you also agree that you know, until an actor says it, those words on the page, just you don't quite hear them?
Sure,
you know,
sure.
And it's hard
as a director. It's actually hard as a director and writer, I'm sure. But even as a director, reading Sarah's script and working on it with her, then you have an idea of how things should be. And part of the process is sometimes steering the actor towards what you know it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
And other times, you just let them try it, and they do something totally different. And you have to kind of do a gut check and go, you know, that works.
Yeah.
And not be precious about it, not hold on to things. So,
Let me get some callers in. Looks like we have Linda from Doylestown joining us on Radio Times. And Linda, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to ask you, my daughter, this is so ironic, my daughter just started high school, and she's never done a team sport. She's only done ballet or musical theater. And she came home and said last week that she was going to try crew for the first time. I was wondering what I could do as a parent to encourage her to persevere if maybe she doesn't like it, because she's really fortunate to even be able to do this sport because of where we live in this city.
Indeed.
And what did you think about that?
Linda, thanks for the call. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would tell her that, you know, rowing is definitely a sport that takes a little time. You know, even that first year is really difficult because that sense of ease that we've been talking about doesn't come quickly. But I would tell her that because of the nature of this team sport, it's such a great way to make long-lasting friends in life. And you know, why do we do sports? There's many, many reasons. But ultimately, if we're not going to be a professional athlete, isn't it for the experiences and the friends that we create? And it keeps you in good shape.
Well, indeed, indeed. And do you have friends from high school that you rode with?
Very good friends who are supporting the movie 100%. Some of my best friends are the people I rode with, you know, freshman year in high school.
And even just the little bit that I know about rowing, just the idea, I mean, it seems simple. You put an oar in the water and you pull it, but just the kind of balance and control that you have to have is pretty precise, or very precise.
It's very precise, and it goes back to this unison thing. You go to these regattas together. You spend weekends together with these people on and off the water, and it really is a precise sport where everybody has to be doing the same thing at the same time. Move as one is something some rowers say. And I think it's just a great sport for that.
Abby, in this film, and in the beginning of the film, she's kind of a tough, no-nonsense coach, and then she softens. Have you had a variety of coaches in your rowing career?
Well, yes, I had wonderful crew coaches in high school. I've had a variety. And I think what's interesting is in my sports life, it's trickier with women because it depends on the woman, on how she likes to be trained. And I think that's different person to person. And I think some female athletes really respond to the like, go, go, go. And some women shut off. So I think the best coach is someone who can take each person as an individual and say, I need to push you, I need to back off.
And Ben, do you think directing is sort of like coaching in a way? I mean, do you see some parallels there?
Well, it is. Well, it is because, again, you're trying to create a space where people can do their best work. And so part of that, it's a total play. It actually is. I mean, I'm sure Sarah realizes this. It's you're manipulating people. You're manipulating actors. And so a lot of times, and yet what's great about film directing versus theater is theater's the pursuit where you make every decision up front. You kind of set the performance and then you let it run. And film, you get to trust the technology. So what I mean by manipulating is I don't need to have every take be perfect. I need to get, you know, the actor to a certain point in take two where we get that angry moment and then get them a bit worn out. So by take four, they relax a bit. And then that line, three lines later, when I want them to just feel like exasperated, well, then we get that in take four because you're able to put it together in the edit room.
Sure.
So, oh, there's the music.
They're playing my song. We are talking about a film about to be premiered called Backwards, and it's written and produced and stars our guest Sarah Megan Thomas, and it's directed by Ben Hinkernell, and we're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation, and some more callers at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. Call us. We'll be right back.
Independence Blue Cross is proud to support WHYY. Independence Blue Cross is dedicated to transforming healthcare to make a better coordinated system that is built around you. They're committed to leading the way to focus on preventing illness rather than reacting to it, pioneering new ways to pay healthcare professionals based on the quality of care, and using technology to update your medical information electronically so everyone can be informed. Further details online at ibx.com. Independence Blue Cross, changing the game.
HBO's Boardwalk Empire begins a new season Sunday. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from Michael Shannon, who plays disgraced Prohibition agent Nelson Van Alden. The animated film Chico and Rita, which celebrates the music and culture of Cuba of the 1940s and 50s, comes out on DVD next week. We'll hear from the director, Fernando Trueba. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. The latest from Libya, Egypt, and beyond as anger over an anti-Islamic movie spreads. Also, how easy is it to cheat in a marathon? One man not only faked winning, but made up entire races. That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture, here and now.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Sarah Megan Thomas and Ben Hickernell about a movie about to be premiered here in the Philadelphia area. It's called Backwards. It will open on September 21st at the Ritz East and the Bryn Mawr in Ambler. And also at the Bala Cynwyd Cinema on September 28th. It's about rowing. It's about a coach who learns a thing or two about rowing and also coaching and about life. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Let me get Rob from Bryn Mawr to join us. And Rob, go ahead. You're on Radio Times. You should probably tell us who you are.
Hi, Sarah and everyone. This is Rob Hyman. I play with the Hooters, and we were fortunate enough to be involved with the film, and I have some personal connections to the movie as well. I just want to say hello.
Oh,
hi, Rob. Hey, Rob. How you doing?
And you have to tell us, Rob, so what did you compose for the film?
Well, Sarah was kind enough to let me and my bandmates compose and perform the end title song for the movie, which was very exciting. I had seen some clips of it and met her along the way last summer, and I also have two sons that went to the same school and both rowed. So I didn't know much about the sport myself until both my kids did it. And first of all, it's a very hard and dedicated crew that goes out there for some long hours to run a race that's maybe less than a minute sometimes. And I know the parents are there all day long supporting them, and I know my kids got home pretty late at night from grueling practices. It's a tough sport, and I learned a lot just by watching them, and of course from the movie.
Yeah, and do they still do it, Rob? Do they still row?
They are in college in New York City, and the rowing opportunities are kind of limited for them.
Indeed. Sarah, you want to respond?
Oh, yeah. Well, Rob has been amazing. They wrote this fabulous end song. Correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, but while in Germany touring on the tour bus, right?
Is that true?
We kind of formulated. We were on the road last fall. I'm trying to think of the chronology. But, yes, I think October, November, and it was hotel rooms here and there with my partner, Eric Bazillion, who had a little mini recording rig, and we would go from hotel to hotel, and I think I would just kind of send along, email some snippets along the way, and we did write it on the road, exactly, and then we came back and recorded it. I have a studio in Conshohocken, so there's a big vocal connection for the whole movie. I mean, anyone in Philly should go see it, because there's so many fantastic scenes in the area, but yes, we wrote it on the road, and just emailed back and forth till it was done.
Well, Rob, it's a great pleasure. Thank you so much for calling into Radio Times.
Sure. Good luck with the film. And a quick shout out to Ben as well. And if anyone has not seen Lebanon, PA, that's also one of my favorite films. Great job, Ben. And people should check that out. And with Sarah, I think they have a fantastic thing that the whole city should be proud of. So good luck, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you.
That's Rob Hyman of the Philly band, the Hooters. That must feel nice.
Yeah, he's such an amazing guy.
You put this film together, as you said, you took books out of the library or whatever to figure out how to be a screenwriter, and as a producer, you have to raise money.
Yeah, that was, any filmmaker will tell you, it is the number one challenge in getting a film made, especially in these hard economic times. For me, it was equally as challenging. It's knocking on a lot of doors, getting a lot of no's, and taking those no's and moving forward or turning them into yeses. Mm-hmm. I had a business plan. I had a script, and I went around and sold it. And I was lucky, too, that this is, because this is a rowing film, there are people in the rowing community that I could go to and say, do you want to see this wonderful film about rowing? So that was helpful. It wasn't just a romance and a comedy. It had a rowing element I could sell.
And Ben, you, having made some films, you know about the difficulties of raising money.
Right? I do. It's kind of an art unto itself. I think the main thing is you have to find people who like kind of Sarah has said, have a connection to the story. You can make money making movies, but certainly if you want to just easily make money, there are real estate. There are lots of other ways to make money. Making movies is much more about telling a story. So when someone believes in the story and believes in the person, I have to compliment Sarah. I'm a director, producer, et cetera, and I fundraise, but Sarah's very good at it and very good at, she's very passionate and was just very good about having people believe that the story should be told, and then having them involved in the process. I mean, the investors are like, they're like our friends. They like they come, if one investor stopped, people would kind of stop by during the process of making it, and then we had a special screening for them first. So she's very good at maintaining those relationships and having them be part of the process.
And several did row buys, actually. Some of them were rowers, and you may not see them or you may see them, but they are there.
And you have to figure out how to get freebies too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, like I said, it's a struggle always to raise money. But I have a great, fantastic group of investors who are happy with the film, which is ultimately what you really want them to really like the product at the end.
And in terms of freebies, that's the thing. Yeah, it's sometimes doing a low budget film isn't about the money you spend, but the money you don't have to spend. Mm. And we were able to get like some amazing locations. And I think you were saying earlier, Sarah, the boats. Can cost so much money, and the fact that we're able to get sponsorships and get these things donated or loaned to the film gives us a lot of production value that we just couldn't afford. So,
and picking up something you said earlier, Sarah, which is that you really wanted to make what looks like a family film. I mean, a film where a dad could bring a daughter or a coach could bring their team to see something that would be for the family.
Absolutely. I think that there are – I love film. So I think all types of film – is fantastic. I really enjoy the medium. But I think there are not a ton of films out there that are not cartoons, but are really, really friendly to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, the dad taking the daughter and having a positive outlook. For me, I wanted this film to be, as I said earlier, an enjoyable 90-minute ride. It's not necessarily rocket science or something you haven't seen before, but that was actually the intention. I wanted people to enjoy it, right, to sit back and just enjoy the film.
But also enjoy a film about female athletes?
Yeah, that was crucial to me. I really, I'm not a feminist in any way, shape, or form, but I really wanted to...
You probably are.
Maybe I am. But, I really wanted the female athletes out there to have a film that revolves around female athletes, yeah.
Let me see what Bill from Radnor has to say. Bill, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hello, Terry. How are you?
I'm fine, but I'm not Terry. I'm Marty, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Marty. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I listen to you guys all the time. When I was in high school, I went to Henley twice. And then in college, I went to Henley again my senior year. And I'm so glad that you're ending the movie on almost making it, because I think that's an experience that many rowers have, particularly when you have a winning season. Most people, you get to continue in the late season, the postseason, until you lose. And I just appreciated that ending to the story. And then you talked about knowing your teammates, and I got together a couple years ago with a crew that I rode with 30 years ago, and we were all curious the way it would feel. And after three or four strokes, we were back in the groove. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just as athletes that we knew each other, but it felt like no time had passed, because you also get to know your teammates at a level that I never knew when I played hockey or soccer. And I can't wait to, I'm coaching now, and I can't wait to see the movie with the Radnor High School crew. It's going to be great.
Yay, that's awesome. Great.
And do you row on the Schuylkill, Bill, your team?
Oh, yeah, we row on the Upper Schuylkill out of Conshohocken.
Right.
And it's the White Marsh Rowing Center there is growing very, very quickly. And as you know, the sport is growing. Everybody seems to be getting into it these days.
That's great. Well, I appreciate that call to Radio Times, Bill. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Well, yeah, and thanks for making the movie. I can't wait to see it. Yeah.
Great. I really can't wait for you to see it.
Let me see what looks like Pat from Tuckerton, New Jersey has to say. Pat, go ahead. You're on Radio Times. Hi there.
Great, thanks. I'm just going to reinforce what the last caller said. Sarah and Ben, big thanks for doing this. We've had such great movies about athletic sports of football and baseball that we all know growing up, but this is so exciting, because where I live, just like that gentleman just said, we have a lot of crew teams, and it's just, I just did your the trailer, and I just got on the email and just sent everybody, said, listen, we've got to go see this movie, because it's about us, it's about anyone that sat on the Schuylkill and the Cooper River for hours and hours on end. I have 7 nieces and nephews that have gone on to Temple University full scholarship for this sport.
Oh,
great. A lot of sweat and blood goes into it. And Sarah, Ben, thank you so much for putting your time and effort into it. And a quick shout out to the Olympic team. The girls got the gold and brought it home.
There you go.
It was wonderful. But again, thank you so much.
Well, Pat, thanks
for the call.
Thanks for calling into Radio Times. Our guests, I think, are blushing. Are
yeah,
you blushing?
Yeah, thank you.
No, it's so great to have a story that can touch people. Obviously, rowers are going to want to see this film because it's about their sport. But I think it's also a film that is a very kind of light, fun film, but that is also good for these times. I just really like that. It's what makes the first Rocky so good is that he doesn't win. And that's the experience of most people. And I think kind of if I could sum up some of the themes of this movie, it's that not winning isn't always not winning
yes.
in life. You know, that it doesn't always have to be that you get the gold medal, because that's one person. And the other 99% of people don't get the gold medal, but they still have lives worth living and stories worth telling. And that's, you know, part of what the film's about. But also, rowers are going to love it.
And there's a surprise ending.
Yes, which we won't talk yeah. about. Let me give Harvey from Center City, Philadelphia, a chance to join us on Radio Times. Harvey, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, quick question. Thanks
sure.
so much for having me
You're
on.
You're welcome.
You know, just looking at the history of sport in America, you know, I really admire rowers. I was a former rower in high school and college. The incredible sacrifice and the incredible amount of pain they put them through. But I'm sort of wondering, at what point does this end? You know, we're working out 3, 4, 5 times a day. We're putting ourselves through this incredible amount of pain and suffering. And we're almost revering these rowers and runners and athletes sort of to a godlike status in our society. And I'm just sort of wondering, at what does this say about our society as a whole, and where are we going with this? Where is it going to end?
Harvey, thanks for calling into Radio Times. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that's actually, you hit on one of the major themes of the movie, which is finding balance in life. I talk with a lot of friends who have kids, you know, who are starting sports, and these days there's so much pressure on them, even at 6 or 7, to be spending hours and hours. And I think that it's something we need to address as society. Mm-hmm. And part of the point of this film is saying it's great if you want to be an Olympic athlete. That's also, but you're right. There is a limit to how much you can push yourself.
Yeah, one of the themes of the film is the toll it's taken on Abby's life. And then in some ways, as the movie begins, she's age 30. But not development-wise, but certainly kind of socially, she's more like an 18-year-old because she's just put so much into the sport that she kind of never left college, right? Yeah. Wouldn't you mm-hmm. say that's kind of one of the themes of the movie, Sarah?
Definitely. Like, when you see Abby's place that she lives, it looks like a college dorm, and that's
yeah.
part of the, you know, she hasn't moved on socially past college.
Well, right. and I don't think this gives too much away, but she's a high school coach, and so she goes to the high school prom.
Yes,
you know,
that's true.
As a 30-year-old.
As a chaperone, yeah. Yeah, it's really fun scene.
Let me get Deborah from Radnor to join us. Hi, Deborah. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
I'd just like to give a shout-out to someplace that Ben worked,
yeah.
the Bryn Mawr Film Institute, where he worked with my son, the other Ben Bursoff, and Bryn Mawr Film Institute is very supportive of young and independent filmmakers. They have an open screen Monday for people to free. It's a free screening of the films they're making. And I know that Ben was working on Lebanon when he worked there. So
it's great. Deborah, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. Ben, you want to add to that?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, I mean, they're you know, they're doing something. You know, they were very supportive of me. I actually worked there 6.5 years, and they were very supportive of me through the process of making Lebanon. And I don't work there anymore, but they were like, you know, a family for a long time. And I think what is really interesting is they and places like that are kind of the future of movie theaters. You know, everybody talks about movie theaters, attendance shrinking, and the fact that that's a community-based place, and there are other theaters in the area that are like that, other theaters across. The interesting thing is, when I go to film festivals now, and I go to film festivals in other cities across the country, a lot of them are based at theaters like that, not a, you know, AMC chain. And AMC is great, but the point is that you have these small community-based theaters where they build an experience that's based on community, and you going there and not only just watching a movie and buying expensive popcorn, but also talking with people after the movie, digesting the movie. And I go to these film festival events, and so often they're centered at places like that, where there's a sense of film, because film can be a part of it's a part of the American culture, and it's great to actually be able to digest the film you're seeing as well as just kind of watch it.
I've been to several film festivals, and what I love is that everyone is quiet when they watch the film. They don't talk.
They're very respectful. This is actually hilarious. They will throw you out at the Alamo Draft House in Austin where they have South by Southwest, they'll throw you out.
They
have
so trailers. Glad to hear that.
They have trailers at the beginning of the film that actually make fun of people who like talk and text in the theater.
Oh,
so,
excellent, excellent. Sarah, you're an actor?
Yes.
You studied in college?
Yeah, I was a theater major at Williams, and then I went to graduate school in London for acting at a place called Drama Studio London, which was amazing. Just living in London and living in London as a student, their theater culture is unbelievable. And you get to go see all these shows at student rates, the Globe. It was unbelievable.
And you've done stage, off-Broadway, independent films, soap opera. You were in The Guiding Light?
I was. I've done a little bit of everything. I think like most New York actors, you know, you really do a little bit of everything, and you have to take a job when a job comes your way.
Right. And then commercials.
And commercials is the bread and butter.
Is that pays the rent?
Yeah. A lot of commercials, a lot of industrials, you know, when you go into a hospital or museum, you may see me talking.
Oh,
you know,
those right?
they pay really well.
And are you cast a certain way when it comes to things like commercials?
I tend to get cast a lot as a business professional girl next door. Oh. Kind of that split. Like, so I do a lot of bank things. I did a New York Times commercial. And then I do a lot of kind of friendly girl next door kind of roles as well.
And are you thinking about your second film?
I am thinking about it. It's Top Secret. But I'm kidding. But I am absolutely thinking about my next script.
And I know you're working on something too as well, Ben.
Yeah, I have a film that I'm putting together. I'm a Philadelphia-based filmmaker, so I live here. I'm writing several scripts set here, and right now we're developing my next feature, which actually is set in Atlantic City, New Jersey, not in Philadelphia, but it's set in the area, and we're developing and fundraising that now. So I'm just starting. It's funny. It's like you finish a film, and then you kind of see then you see this kind of desert in front of you. Okay, now we have to walk through it again. Mm-hmm. So now we're starting the process of raising money to tell that story. And hopefully we'll shoot it next year because I'm really excited about the film. So.
Well, it's been a great pleasure to have you both with us on Radio Times, and congratulations on the film as well.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
It's a pleasure for us. And Sarah Megan Thomas, Ben Hickernell have been our guests. We've been talking about a film called Backwards. It opens on September 21st at the Ritz East Bryn Mawr Ambler. Also on September 28th at the Bala Cinema here in the Philadelphia area. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes to find out more about this program. Bob Ball's the engineer for today's edition of the show, and it's produced by Susan Greenbaum, Patty McMahon, Dennis Devine, and Debbie Builder. I'm Marty Moscoen. Thank you so much for joining us.